The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. It's my pleasure to welcome to the program today Anna Ginja. She joins us on the telephone in Athens, Ohio. Welcome to the program, Anna.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Anna, you've got this new book out. It's called Adopting Grace. And I know a little bit about you, and I'm thinking maybe there's some autobiographical elements here. Is that possible?
Yeah, I wrote the novel to process my adoption story growing up in Iowa, which we have that shared connection, and what it was like to be adopted. And they tell people to write what you know. So I know about growing up in the Midwest in Iowa. I know what it's like to be an adoptee, and I know what it's like to have failed relationships. And so that's what I did. I wrote a novel that was loosely based on my own story.
And your protagonist, she's slightly neurotic. Did you jazz that up, or are you slightly neurotic too?
Yeah, I didn't have to go far from the main character, and I just had to think about things that had happened to me when I was growing up in Iowa and just who I am. And so just maybe a couple little tweaks to make it more interesting, Grace's story. But I think some of the things that actually happened that the story was based on, I left out because I didn't think it would be believable, believe it or not. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, first of all, her occupation, I kind of wondered about that. That doesn't sound like something that you've ever done. Tell us, who is this woman? Who is Grace?
Yeah, she's a 39-year-old woman who's trying to hold everything together. Her marriage is falling apart. She's raising two daughters, and she has a sewing business, which is loosely based on my adopted mom's business. She had a sewing business in the basement of our house, and so again, writing what you knew, I remember seeing my mom, you know, peeking down the basement and seeing her clients as she was putting together a bridal dress or doing something for the theatrical group there, doing costumes. So that I definitely had experience with, but not all the things that Grace had to deal with as far as her husband falling back in love with his high school sweetheart and what that meant. That did not happen in my relationship. And also, my sister says she is not the Christina character. So whenever I talk about the book, there's a sister named Christina, and my sister is very, very passionate about saying she's on a campaign to let people know that she's not that character, who's a challenging sister.
Well, that's too bad, because Christina is my favorite character. I'm just kidding.
Yes, she is interesting. She's like a mixture of all the people that have said things to me that have been incredibly truth-telling, but also done in a way that is colorful. She loves the F word.
Right. That must be why I liked her so much. My guest is Anna Ginja. Her book is Adopting Grace, and this is based, as she mentioned, in some ways upon her own background. And you and I met a number of years ago when you were living in this area, and we discovered when we were together on the radio during a membership campaign, of all things, that we had some things in common. And I find when I talk to people, if I talk to them for even 5 minutes, I'll usually find something I have in common with them. You and I went to the same high school in Des Moines, and here I'm reading this book, and you have all these Des Moines-centric references. So being from Des Moines, I got a kick out of that. Now, I want to know about your Iowa connection, because I see this is published by a press in Iowa, and it's all about Iowa as a locale. You lived there until recently?
Well, I lived there until I was 19. I went to the University of Iowa. I grew up in Des Moines, Iowa, then left for, and when I left, I swore I would never go back to Iowa. And then, as I said, I had a relationship overseas. And when that fell apart, I went back home to Iowa because I felt like I needed to reconnect with who I am, how I started, and you know, I am a Midwestern girl, and so coming back to Iowa helped me reconnect to things that I had forgotten or wanted to forget, and that helped me process my story. And then the publisher, I did not want to publish the book, but when this Midwestern books came about, she said, I really love the book, and she wants to tell stories that are rooted in the Midwest and loved the book, as did her business partner. And so they wanted it to be one of the first books that they published. I dragged my feet because, as you know, doing your show, that it's a vulnerable act of writing, and then publishing it is even scarier. And so I tried to delay the publication, but the publisher shared that he had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. It would be the last book that he published, and there's no saying no to a dying man's wish. And so we published the book about a year ago.
And did you just say you didn't want to publish it at all, or you just didn't want to do it so soon?
Both. I mean, I just think I was so scared because it's so rooted into my own story, and it reveals my vulnerability as far as being an adoptee. There were scenes in the book that were, I wanted to fictionalize, but I also wanted to process what did it mean when someone said to me, which has happened in Dayton, actually, when a woman told me that she felt differently about her biological children than her adopted children, meaning that she had a deeper connection to her biological children than the ones that she had adopted. And it was the first time I had ever heard someone speak that truth, and so I didn't know what to do with it, and that's why I processed it in writing that chapter in that book. So I think I was scared to do it, also because when you write a book, everybody is an editor, or I was afraid of people saying that I wasn't good enough and that I didn't deserve to be published, and so that fear prevented me from wanting to get it out, because once it's out, it's out. But I think I'm learning through this process too that just owning it and being able to share our story is a privilege and an honor, and sometimes it's just that one person that reads the book and feels moved by it or transformed it or by it, or that they're not alone, that I have to just surrender and know that, you know, I've just done my best.
Was that a surprise or upsetting to you when this woman said this?
Yeah, it was devastating. I'd never heard anybody say that to me. And it was a truth that I felt probably that, you know, you just kind of push down. And then when those truths come to the surface to be able to come to the light, then what do you do with those kind of truths? And now that I talk with a lot of adoptees and adopted parents that it's trying to get back to love, but also acknowledging the truth, because when you don't, that's when I feel like the disconnect and the separation from feeling loved and then belonging and that you're meant to be on this earth is challenging. And so I want to be able to have those conversations that are really, really hard and hard to hear, but to be able to at least get up and dance with those truths and then come to a better place.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Book Nook. My guest is Anna Jinja on 91.3 WYSO, sharing community voices through inspired storytelling. Anna, you mentioned the marriage is falling apart as the book opens. I'm not sure about your verb tense there. Maybe the marriage has fallen apart. It seems like it's already in shreds, because as the book opens, and I'm going to avoid spoilers if I can, her estranged husband is getting ready to play house with his first true love. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, it's not easy when someone tells you that they are no longer in love with you and have decided to build a life with somebody else. And that's what Grace is dealing with and trying to figure out how to get back to the love that was shared between her and her husband named Mark. And so she's plotting and figuring out ways to be able to either manipulate the situation or to develop relationships with the husband's mistress to be able to have him come back to her. So in some ways, I think it's a book that sounds really heavy, but there's a lot of parts where I think you'll do the LOL, where you'll laugh out loud, because putting her in situations where she finds herself doing things that are actually quite comical, and that's life, isn't it? Sometimes when you're in the depths of despair, you push yourself into situations that are actually quite funny, and that's what happens to Grace several times in the book.
Well, your sense of humor is redemptive. Anyone who can get through the hot wax section without laughing.
That's based on a true story, too. And let me just say, for vanity's sake, what women do to be able to make sure that they are desirable, we do some pretty funny things to ourselves that end up putting ourselves in a situation where we look worse, million times worse than when we started before the procedure.
Well, I mentioned I'm not going to do spoilers, but there's some stuff that I think to the typical reader like me is fairly obvious throughout the book. And number one, the first thing is her estranged husband's kind of a jerk. Number two, this guy who's the neighbor has a thing for her. She doesn't seem to really get that, either one of those things about these men. What is it with her?
I think she just is so wants the imagined life that she had built with Mark, her husband, and that's who she desperately wants to be. And so she's so narrowly focused on saving a marriage with a man that doesn't want her that she can't see other things. Now, I'm going to confess to you on your show, I've never said this to anybody, but the neighbor is based on, the name is based on a person that was part of my life. He was adopted at the same time as I was. He was relinquished at 6 years old after being adopted by my parents' best friends because he was completely had mental health breakdown, and so they had to relinquish him. And I always wondered about Ian, what happened to him? And when you think about an adoptee, and I was 6 years old at the time when Ian was relinquished back to the state, they're thinking about what are relationships and what are the permanency that comes in this world when we develop connections, when we say, you are my husband, you are my child, and then when things go terribly wrong, you are no longer my child. And so I always wondered what happened to Ian, and that's who that character was named after. And Ian is everything that Ian is, Grace rejects because he is Asian, he is everything that she doesn't want to be. So it's a symbolic rejection of really who she is and finding herself and loving herself.
Whoa, this is deep stuff. I think we better open the big door, though, the adoption door. You're a bit of an authority on adoption. Tell us about your adoption life and how you're still dealing with this in this book and in other ways.
If you read the article in the New York Times, there's been a lot of exposure of what happened between Korea and the United States and why adoptions came to be. Part of that learning has been that that South Korea really, after the war, didn't want mixed-race babies. And in America, there was a need for people wanting to have children to have babies, and so that fulfilled that need. And so as I learn more about my adoption story and coming back to Iowa, like I said, after that breakup, it was an opportunity for me to be able to ask all the questions I refused to ask myself growing up in Iowa as an adoptee. I didn't want to be different. But these days when I published Adopting Grace, which is all about adoption, I host a podcast that features adoption and foster care stories. And every time I ask a guest about a question connected to adoption, I ask myself. And just like with Adopting Grace, where she is trying to figure out how does she love herself and accept herself and adopt herself, that's what I'm doing. And it's a continual journey of stopping to reject the things that there's nothing I can do to change. I can't change the shape of my eyes or where I was born. I'd love to be tall and blonde and blue-eyed and Cindy Crawford, but I'm not. And so this is coming to a time in my life where I've turned 53 this year of really looking at adopting myself and choosing the things that make me my best self. And that's what I hope for those that read Adopting Grace or listen to the podcast, that they start choosing themselves and stop rejecting the things that make them the best of who they are in this world.
This podcast you mentioned, is that through this radio station in Iowa?
It is. Iowa does, KHOI does host the show, but also I do the show out of the local NPR affiliate here at WOUB, and then it's just on any of the other ways that you can get your podcast.
Okay. And I saw this station. It's like a low-wattage station. It sounds like it's near Ames, Iowa. Tell me the story about this station. It sounds like kind of a cool station.
Oh, I love it. That's how I got started. And so, you know, I started doing radio because I worked in Ames, Iowa, for Able Up Iowa. And they offered us to do a podcast that, or radio show, sorry, that featured stories about disability. I was working for a nonprofit that served people with disabilities. Got on there, and then the pandemic hit, and they needed to figure out who are the people that can be in the station that aren't going to get COVID, and that was me because I wasn't married. I only had a dog, so like, Anna has no life. Get her in the studio. And I had to fill time, and so I would ask questions, and I mentioned I was adopted, and then all these adoption stories started to come in where people wanted to share their stories, and all this time that I didn't want to talk about it, I never wanted to say my middle name, which is Jinja, which the adoption agency gave me. So it turned out that every week I had to say my name and ask questions about what is it like to be someone that's a transracial adoptee growing up in the Midwest in Iowa. And I love Iowa. I love that I'm a Hawkeye. I lived in Cyclone community, which was challenging, but love Iowa. And and I love, you know, that people in Iowa are good-hearted, they are rooted in the land and things that I care about. And also, it was challenging growing up in Iowa. I was, you know, the only one that looked like, you know, when they did the attendance in middle school, they would say, so, all right, everybody who's African-American, stand up. Every Asian Pacific Islander, stand up. And I had to stand up in class, and people are like, who's the Asian? Oh, it's Anna. We don't even think of her being Asian. And while that's a compliment, it's also incredibly confusing and hurtful to think about having to stand, you know, by yourself for everyone to look at and say, yep, you're different. You don't belong here. But yes, you, we don't think you of you as Asian, so you're one of us. And all those messages start to filter into who you are, which are explanations, not excuses for messing up in relationships in the, and in life. But then you get to an age where you just have to think, okay, so then what is it that I need to be able to function as someone that gives back to this world in a healthy way and that is able to love in a healthy way? And I think it's just recognizing those things are hurtful. How do I learn from it? And how do I help others who are hurting to not hurt anymore?
My guest is Anna Jinja. Her book is Adopting Grace. And Anna, did you ever pretend you were a Vietnamese foreign exchange student when you were in college?
At the University of Iowa, I did. I did indeed. So that is a true story. And so I went around with my roommates on the first day of classes, that Thursday night at the University of Iowa's party night, and they pretended that I was a foreign exchange student. They called me Vivian because my Vietnamese name was too difficult. And we just went around and they met guys because they're like, yeah, she just got here. She doesn't speak a lick of English. And so my sister hates that story. She thought it was terrible. But it is one of my fun memories at the University of Iowa.
Mm. I enjoyed it. Okay, so we have a side story, I guess we would call it. There's a client of Grace's who needs a wedding dress. Give us this side story, because this is the thing that kind of binds it all together, besides her estrangement from her husband and the ongoing drama of all that.
Well, I wanted a character that just was so disgusted and really hated her body. So she has an overweight client that comes in that wants a bridal dress. And so, and then she develops, Grace develops a friendship with her client. And really that friendship is a discussion and a kind of a symbolic exploration of what do we do to each other as women when it comes to our physical appearances, and that we make up stories about ourselves. We try to be able to change who we are to be able to fit what is the ideal image and what is going to get us loved if we look this way. And Grace, as a seamstress, is always looking at ways to be able to alter fabric to be able to fit the body, to make clothing, to be able to navigate through this world. And so that storyline was really about truth and about how do we connect with each other in our bodies in a way that is helpful, and how do we support each other as women. So in the story, Grace befriends this client, and she also befriends, even though she doesn't want to, her husband's mistress as well. And those friendships and relationships are complicated. But I think that's how it is when we are open our hearts to be curious, when we're scared. What are the choices that we make when we enter these relationships? And that was something I wanted to explore. I felt like it was an easy way to do that because of Grace's profession.
Yeah, the mistress was next on my list of characters to talk about, but you segued right into that naturally. And this is a really fraught relationship. She's just completely freaking out about the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because Emily is someone, it represents everything that she's not. She's a good singer. She's attractive. She's tall. She is the ideal standard of beauty, and that drives Grace nuts because she's unconsciously competing against that, not only for to win the affection of her husband, just herself, and that she is constantly trying to be Emily in many ways. And there's some funny bits in that too, just because, again, I think that, I've done some things where I've just like tried to be something that I'm not, that, you know, I've dyed my hair blonde. That is not a good look for me. Mm. But, you know, you do those things because you're trying to figure out, like, what is the most authentic Anna? What is the most authentic Grace? And so Emily is just like, is she's so jealous of Emily and envious of Emily and wants to be Emily, and she can't. She can't be Emily. Mm. She's Grace. That's the other thing, is that you can't force somebody to love you. Like, there's no way that you can earn your way into the affection of somebody. If I do this and this and this, that they somehow give you that grade that you want, or to stay in a relationship because of this or that kind of thing. And adopting Grace, and in the podcast, I talk a lot about how we have to start choosing ourselves and adopting and fostering ourselves, because we can't force people to do things that they can't do or are unwilling to do.
Mm. Well, the relationships between parents and children, that's a huge part of this story. I'm not sure if you have children of your own, but there's a lot in here about this. Grace has an older daughter who's really having some complications growing up, and this is a big part of the story.
Well, I'm confessing all sorts of things writing this story to you, Vic. You're getting the inside scoop. So I actually sent those chapters to friends of mine who were parents to see, did I capture it? I don't have children. I've always, I'm 53. It's too late for me to have children. And I was just afraid to have children. So that became not an option for me. I was afraid that I would mess up my children. I was afraid that my children would be hurt. What would I do? But I know what it feels like to be a daughter and to be able to want the love of your parents and trying to find your way. I always say that my mom said that when she adopted me, that the giving birth part was easy, that she didn't get stretch marks from having me be her daughter. But when I was 13 and 14, I stretched her to the limit. Mm. So I know what it's like to be that daughter who is like trying to lash out and test like that unconditional love. Is that really true, that you're going to love me no matter what? And the daughters are also symbolic representations for me as an adoptee of testing the limits of what love can endure. And when you have those biological ties to your children, that's something that I feel a longing for that I won't be able to have in this lifetime, of having that biological tie to a child that means so much to you, that gives you purpose and identity. And so that was kind of a love letter to myself, saying it's okay and you can have that grief, but also know that that just wasn't meant for you.
Mm. Well, in the story, Grace's mom assures her, regardless of whether she's her biological daughter or not, that she's going to always love her regardless, and that's what parents do. And I thought, well, gosh, in a perfect world, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I've worked, you know, in nonprofits where there are so many children, and then I, you know, the foster care stories of biological family members that can't love their children in a way that is normal or typical because there are drugs or there's trauma that causes that separation. And the consequences of that are huge for children. And you want that ideal relationship for a parent where they will care for and nurture and make sure that the children have all their basic needs met and beyond. And when that's not met, that's when you see the hurt. And I see that so much in many of the episodes that I do in the interviews, is that disconnect, that separation from love and knowing that you have a place in this world. And so that's, again, going back to what I hope is that you adopt and foster yourself, and that you know that you are here and that you are loved and that you are worthy because just for the sake that you are here.
The book is Adopting Grace. Anna Ginger wrote it. She's been my guest in the Book Nook today. And quickly, before I let you go, I want to talk about this cover, because this is one of the nicest covers I've seen in a long time.
Thank you. Well, that cover is a huge story. I'm sure that many other writers have struggled with the cover. I know they say don't judge a book by its cover, but I did. The first version I hated. And when my friend Miriam Martinsik, who is an amazing artist, read the novel, she said to me, "I wish that you would have let me do the cover." Now, she's won the National Society of Illustrators Award. She's just remarkable. And when she said that, I went to the publisher and said, "I don't care what you have to do, let Miriam do the cover." And so she created a cover that really captured the heart of Iowa about being an adoptee. And I recently went to the Columbus Book Festival in the summer. And the reason why I sold out there is because of that cover. People came because I had a tablecloth that was based on the cover, and they came over to ask me about Adopting Grace because of Miriam. And so thank you for letting me say that, because Miriam Martinsik, I love you. You are amazing and talented, and thank you for being the first introduction to Grace's story.
Well, I would describe the cover, but I will leave that for curious listeners to investigate on their own. The book is Adopting Grace. Anna Ginger wrote it. She's joined us on the telephone in Athens, Ohio, where you are. Give us your title.
So I am here. I am the podcast host of the Anna Ginger Show. I'm in Athens, Ohio, home of Ohio University. And just so I love being back in Ohio and having these opportunities to have a conversation and reconnect with you as well.
No, I want your professional title. Give us your title. Impress us.
Oh. Well, you know what? Okay, yes. So I'm Anna Mather. I am the Director of Academic Marketing Strategy here at Ohio University.
There you go. You got to plug yourself in every possible way, Anna. That's just, that's America. That's how we do things here.
Right. Although I say in the podcast constantly, you are not your title, you are not your job description, because I love that movie Fight Club. So that's okay. One of the messages I try to share.
I stand corrected, or at least I fell down corrected. Thank you so much, Anna, for everything.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
My guest again has been Anna Ginger, and her new book is Adopting Grace. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McInnes. Thanks, as always, for being there.